Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're talking to Radio 1's Rhys Parkinson about his sudden and emphatic love for running. But before we talk to Rhys, Ben and Jane, tell me about your love of running. How's it been going?
Jane can offer you a slice of reality and then I'll just...
Okay, I'll bum everyone out and then Ben can pick everyone up. It'll be like a,
yeah,
like a really bad party. So I've hurt my knee. I don't know what I've done. I kind of thought it was a bit of an ITB kind of... everything being a bit tight, so gave it a few days off, icing, resting, went for a run on Friday, and now it hurts to walk, so not the smartest move. So I don't know, I'm in that really fun stage of injury where you're like, is my life ever going to be the same again? But I'm sure this time next week, things will be better. So I'm trying, but yeah, I didn't realise how... I always forget how much it sucks to not run until you can't run.
Definitely. Totally agree.
So that's my, you know, what, 20 seconds into the podcast. Welcome, guys. But if you are injured, and you're listening to this and you're like, I hate running, or I just want to run, I love running, and I hate everyone talking about running because I'm injured, I'm right there with you. I feel your pain. So keep on keeping on.
I mean, it's just, I'm just really happy it's not me doing that every, because it's normally me saying that, Jane. So it's kind of nice that I'm not the one. Rick goes, I went and ran X number of miles. Ben, how's your running? Yeah, I was injured. And then, but no, it's good. You know, no one, the injury bit is the worst because it just, suddenly when they, especially ones that creep up on you.
Yeah.
And you weren't expecting them. And then all of a sudden you're not able to go and do the
thing. I think it's just a classic case of increasing your mileage too quickly and not stretching. And there are things that I write about every single day. So I should learn from this. And if I don't, then you shouldn't have me back on the podcast ever again moaning about being injured. Because I have to learn. This is the last time I'm going to let that happen.
Got it. Well, that's smart. My running's been good. I got out quite a bit when it was very cold, which I enjoy, and not in a sort of like oh, you know, you've got to get out there whatever happens, not under that sort of banner of sort of ego massaging running, but more like the, I don't know, just it's just really nice when it's cold and a bit snowy and just kind of like slowly plodding along, being careful not to fall over. But yeah, so I got out a bit and did a few miles in the cold weather, and I'm going to go running after this. So yeah, you know, it's just nice.
Mate, you're back with a bang, Ben.
I wouldn't say a bang. Bang is generous. I would say I'm back. I'm back with a sort of light echo. Sure, something, you know, some sort of like nondescript noise of sort of, I don't know, some enhanced reverb. But no, it's coming along in terms of I'm still absolutely doing all the things I need to do to make it as easy as possible. So there's no Strava, there's no watches, and all the sort of stuff about distance, and I don't know. I mean, I'm barely going more than 3 miles, really, if I sort of think about it in my head. But it doesn't really matter at the moment, so I'm fine with that. And all good.
Oh, that's cool, mate.
What about you?
I've got a slight sort of conundrum at the minute. I think that probably a few of our listeners have the same thing, but in theory, I've got a race in April. So I'm signed up to the South Downs Way 50, 10th of April. And it's the kind of thing where obviously it's not easy if you're in London to get out to train in those sort of areas. Mm. I've got a young child anyway, so I think I wouldn't really be getting out to the North Downs or South Downs with any regularity anyway. But it's getting to the point now where, what is it, the 15th of February. So I'm a bit like, is it going to happen? And should I be getting in like some of my biggest runs here under the idea that it's going to happen? Or am I being just like ridiculously optimistic about races happening in April or even May? And I should just sort of just chill the running. Like there's no need for me to be running like in excess of 20 miles because this event, you know, may not happen. But it's that kind of waiting room thing of like, I don't want to turn up and be massively underprepared either. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like it's kind of hard to get the balance right.
Where are you at? What mileage are you capable of doing comfortably at the moment?
I think I'm good general fitness, and I think off the back of that, I could do, because I've ran consistently, like really consistently over the last 12 months. I wouldn't have any issue of running. If the race was 30 miles, I wouldn't be massively worried, I guess. So I'd be like, I definitely know that that's going to be.
So you're sort right, of in, yeah. You're in marathon condition now, would you say?
Yes, maybe. Right. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, getting that way. But it's just that kind of like, you probably ought to go out and do a couple of marathon length runs if you're going to do a 50 miler, for sure. And they're quite hard to motivate yourself for if you know the race is going to happen, let alone if you think it may not happen.
That's true.
So I'm struggling a little bit with that.
Again, listeners, sorry about this. I'm in a doom and gloom place. I don't think it's going to happen, Rick. I don't think races are going to be back in April.
Just because you're not running, Jane.
I just don't think they're going to be back in April. I don't think they will.
No.
I think it's too soon.
I don't think they will.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be that person, but I just... I don't even know if we'll be back in order. No, edit that out.
I'm optimistic.
Too harsh. That's too much.
I'm optimistic for the summer. I'm still optimistic for the summer. And I still think that classic. I mean, they're not scheduled for that point, but all of the sort of stuff that would have happened in October would probably be all right now, I think. It's not happening, but Royal Parks and those sorts of classic half marathon-y kind of like end of September-y, October stuff. I think that would be like an ambition. That would be like a goal.
I think we find out next week, don't we? I think we find out the roadmap.
I think so.
So I'd say, don't go and do a marathon this weekend. Wait till the 22nd, and we'll go from there. I think because
that's great advice, Jane. That's good practical advice.
There
we
go. And
you
know,
it's such great advice. Don't run a marathon this weekend, Rick.
Yeah. If you can, just hold yourself back.
Just rein yourself in. Go out and do 15 if you want, but just don't do the full 26. And yeah, we'll hear what this roadmap looks like. Because you know, based on the past thing, we could all be in the pub. They could, you know, eat out, help out again on the 1st of March. We've got no idea, do we?
No.
Let's not make it political.
No, we don't.
Though.
We
I'll
don't.
I'll stop.
Hey, I've got some good light-hearted stuff here.
Great.
So you remember our discussion last week where we talked about bad decisions made.
Oh
after
yeah, did
a good run.
Did anyone propose? Have we got any proposals?
Well, we got Zoe wrote in, and this is a belter as well. This is worth reading out in full. She said, "I really enjoyed your podcast this week discussing rogue decisions post-run, and I had a funny one that sprang to mind. I went for a 12-kilometre run to clear my head mid-dissertation writing in 2017 and listened to early 2000s of Britney
Great.
The whole way."
Right.
So this is kind of like Slave For You toxic era.
Fantastic.
Britney, just so we're in that.
Super fan, Rick Pearson.
Yeah. So she got back to the house having already decided that I needed... to go and see her live. So before even taking my trainers off, I was on the laptop trying to book tickets and flights to Vegas.
Oh my God.
Holy moly.
Right. I made my purchase, got in the shower, and then carried on writing. Whoa. Only to start feeling buyer's remorse. There was no way I could afford the near £1,000 I just spent, and I had no one to go with anyway. Fast forward the next day, and I receive an email from my bank saying there'd been some unexpected activity, my buying flights to Vegas and concert tickets, presumably, on my account, and they blocked the payments that were made the previous day. Truthfully, I was more than a little relieved, and I've toned down the Britney I now listen to on the run.
That is the best email ever.
How good's that?
That's very
brilliant.
Good.
So that puts to shame you going around like buying jam and stuff.
It really does. I'm so embarrassed now. Maybe my first run back with the knee, I'll like book a holiday or something.
That's amazing.
So good.
Just so good.
She gets toxic on, and then she's going to Vegas. £1,000 just dropped like that. Unbelievable.
To go to Vegas alone is a bold move. I love it.
Huge. Huge.
Must have been such a good run. That must have been like 12k of just like the absolute best. Like you were flying along. easily tempo, just, you know, that when you're, yeah, I've got this, I am a runner.
Yeah, I can't go to a restaurant alone. So I'm so impressed that she was just like, let's do it. Vegas, here I come.
That's quality, isn't it? Right, I think we should bring on our guest of the week.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
What compels a casual runner to sign up for a 55-mile ultramarathon? Our next guest, Rhys Parkinson, Radio 1 Extra presenter, did exactly that. During the training process, he also found out that he had type 1 diabetes, but he's not going to let a lack of running experience or a shocking diagnosis get in the way of him completing the seemingly impossible. So, Rhys, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Yeah, cheers for having me, guys. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
No, it's great. We both watched the BBC iPlayer documentary about how not to run 55 miles. So I'd just be interested to know what did compel you to sign up for an ultramarathon, because it's a hell of a long way.
Yeah, cheers for watching, firstly. And I'm surprised that it's got... I'm so overwhelmed by the reaction, considering it is called How Not to Run. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, who clicks on that? Do you know what I mean? But maybe that was the clickbait kind of did it. Why is he saying not? Yeah, I think like all of us idiots, essentially, you want to do a challenge that you feel like is really out of your comfort zone. You want to push yourself for reasons that you know or you might not know. And that was exactly it for me. I was like, who would do that? And I saw this little community of nutters that do it. And I'm like, okay, I want to be, I want to be a part of this kind of almost Navy SEAL like group. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, in the documentary at the start, you're talking to the producer and you're sort of saying how you basically took on like a spontaneous marathon at the start of lockdown. And first of all, like, why? And then secondly, you sort of describe it as like the best feeling ever. So I guess it's sort of like your journey into running was like a very spontaneous and immediately like emphatic.
Yeah, well, exactly that. Jim, the producer of the doc, who's in it as well, it was just kind of at the time that I did that marathon as well, he was like, what are you doing, mate? And I was like, oh, I just wanted to do it. I kind of got wrapped into this world that I'm sure some of you listening would know, and probably you two as well, David Goggins.
Right, okay.
The man himself. I went full Goggins, and I think everyone experiences this moment. Yeah, everyone experiences it. But you could only do full Goggins for like a month, so I kind of got sucked in. I was sleeping on my floor for a week instead of being in my bed, because that's considered being soft. So I did that. I was running a bit here and there, obviously, but nothing like the lengths I was doing. And then kind of things factored in. So I broke up with my girlfriend at the time earlier that year, which kind of happens to a lot of people. You have that kind of motivation. Then you're like, well, I'm running away from this stress or pain or something I'm not really dealing with at home. I'm just literally running away from it. So I started off with like 7 miles to where my granddad used to live. I went there and I was like, oh my God, mum, I've run 7 miles. She's like, wow, you went to granddad's house. Then I got there and I got an Uber back home. And then, so when I went home, I went, oh no. And my mum was like, what's up? I was like, I know I could have ran back. That I felt in my body I could have ran back. So I ran there.
Goggins is running back, isn't he, Rhys? Goggins is running back.
I was in the Uber and Goggins was like, you're soft. So the day after I did the 7 miles and I ran back 14 miles and I was like, wow, like I never thought I could do this. I went from 5 miles to that. And then kind of like a month later, I went, you know what? I'm just going to do a marathon. So I woke up in the morning and I went, let me do this. I kind of had this thing with, I Googled how many people do the London Marathon. Forgive me if I'm, it's like 50,000 people, man.
Yeah, it can be, yeah. Yeah, 40 right. or 50, yeah.
Cool. So I checked that and I was like, there can't be anything that special about 50,000 people that I can't do this, which again was very stupid. I underestimated it.
I love that mentality. There's enough people doing it. It must be easy. That's fine.
Right? I assumed that. But I didn't realize everything that went into it, the training that went into it, the things that you needed to run with. So I didn't have any water. So when I set out for that marathon, because I didn't have water on the 14 mile one, I did the marathon, got halfway 13 miles, went to a corner shop, and I was like, boss man, I need a water. I think I'm going to die. And he was like, no. And I was like, please, like, I will promise you, I'll pay you back, like a 60p water. So he gave me the water. And I was like, thank God. It was like a little sack or bottle of water or something. It's like 500 milliliters. And then I ran back, did the marathon. I was like, oh my God, like I've done a marathon. Like, this is crazy. No fans, no nothing. And Jim, the producer, he called me. He's like, did you just do a marathon? I was like, yeah. He was like, we need to make some, there's something in this that we need to do. And then, yeah, that's when we started looking for longer races. And then I bought an actual water pack to go on. And the next kind of week I went for a run, I was like, oh my God, having a water thing you can drink out of when you're running is like, this is God's work. Yeah.
Oh, once you start discovering all the kit, oh, that's it. You're in. Yeah, that's it. You're no turning. Oh, you've got this thing that helps you do this. Oh, well, I'll be fine then. I don't need that anymore. Yeah. How was your body? Like, I mean, did you, because most people, if they just did a marathon, they'd be pretty broken. So, I mean, did you like, was there also, did it coincide with you suddenly being like, actually, do you know what? I'm pretty robust. I feel like, were you training already? Were you sort of like strong from the gym? Like, was it sort of, did it tie in with anything like that?
You know what? I'm not trying to say, I'm not a hard man or a beast or, I'm not that at all. And forgive me if it sounds like that. But my, you know what? I did the marathon. I sat in my chair about 15 minutes. Don't get me wrong, I had a nap that same day as well. Let me not lie, I was out of it. But I could walk. It wasn't like I was like, I can't walk. And I thought, let me go for a jog the day. So I just did like a 3 miler the day after, and I could still complete that. So for me, I always play basketball and football. So anything that involves me kicking a ball, my knees can't handle. Bending to shoot a basketball, my knees are gone. So I got into running last year and golf last year because they're two sports that it doesn't need that motion necessarily, you know.
Right, gotcha. Yeah. The sort of side-to-side bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the race that you picked, Reese, because there are easy ultramarathons, or maybe there are no easy ultramarathons, but there are easier ones.
Wow, bold statement, bro.
Yeah. Oh, you have no idea who you're talking to, honestly.
Rick, talk to me, dude. Like, I need to get your what's the hardest one you've done?
Well, you're based in like Kent Way, aren't you, or not?
Yes. Yeah.
So I did the North Downs Way 100 a couple of years ago, and that was like starting in sort of Surrey, so like the kind of Farnham end, and then ended up in where did it end up? Near where the Channel Tunnel goes, sort of Folkestone way. Yeah. But that was beautiful. So I think that's the biggest one but I have done one on a canal, which I think would be easier than what you're attempting up in the Cheviots. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm of the opinion that with an ultramarathon, you want it to be somewhere quite beautiful. So I think actually like somewhere like really monotonous, like a canal or like a road, I think that's way more difficult than somewhere like where you'll be going, which is like really like stunning. Because I think there's a kind of mental bit of mental variety and a bit of mental impetus that you need, because you're just going to be knackered at some point. You just need things to be changing a bit as well.
Bro, I totally get you. I literally moved to East London recently. I did a marathon here from Isle of Dogs to Hollands Park, West London.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And then back again. And compared to the runs I used to do where I'm from in Gravesend, this was so much easier because I was like, oh my God, it's the Royal Albert Hall. And I'm like, oh my God, that's London Eye. Like, you're so right. It's what you see. It just takes your mind off it. Yeah. I'm running where this film was filmed or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
was
that, exactly.
I never thought of that. Interesting.
And I think for that reason, I think that they're easier to do with company as well. So if you had a good mate who was doing it with you, it's going to be maybe more difficult with the kind of social distancing lockdown stuff. But if you've got company or you meet someone on the day and you're kind of roughly the same speed, same reason, like if you have a chat with someone, actually like the miles can go past and you can kind of share the load a bit more than if you're just kind of just the one man in nature trying to get it done.
Can you boys run with people if it's not an ultramarathon?
Do you mean in the current lockdown situation?
In terms of pleasure? Yeah, because I don't like that. I don't like running with someone if it's like a 5 mile. I'm like, I want to be in my zone.
Yeah, I'm a lone wolf. That's how I
operate. You are, Ben, aren't you? Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I operate on it. Like, I'm not a club member. I'm not like I don't run particularly with people that often. I miss it. Like I think now, like retrospectively looking back on how the last year's been, I kind of like, you do crave those moments of being like, actually, I'd like to go for a run. Like when we were back in the office, we would go for like team runs at lunchtime, and that was always good because, well, they were always good because everyone was always really competitive. So it wasn't it?
Really?
Yeah. So they were good because everyone would go, let's go to Hyde Park and just do like an easy whatever. And it would always end up being like a progression run where everyone just tried to be the big man and would be just like trying to run as fast as possible. Anyway, so that was when it was quite good running in a group. But otherwise, no, I'm solo for sure.
So, Rick, I feel like this is a bit of you. There's this run, right?
Yeah.
This sickens me. There was these guys. So Chad Wright, who's in the documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chad Wright, he did this run, and it was him, Rich Roll, ultramarathon guy in America. I don't think Goggins was in it. I think Cameron Haynes, I think, was in it. They did a last man standing run.
Oh no.
So run, last man standing yeah. until like someone's dying in one of yeah. you know, like yeah. that's how yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah, like
where's the joy?
It's you can always be more extreme, Reece, can't you? That's it. There's always a more extreme challenge. Which is do you think that this is I guess a similar kind of question? Do you think that it will be a one off thing for you when you do the 55? Do you think that will be like I'm done, or do you reckon actually you might be like actually this is my kind of thing? I could possibly go even further.
Well, the doctor said that we had in the doc, she said, this should be your last one. Because funny enough, I just mentioned my knees earlier. She was like, your knees are really bad. Like if you do another one of these, you might not be able to play football with your future kids and stuff.
Yeah.
So it did. So that obviously I did take note of that. Whether I implement that is a different question, but I know. And
Prosthetic knees are they're pretty good these days. They're pretty solid things. You've seen that Andy Murray documentary? The man's got a metal hip. He's running around fine. So, you know, it's like,
wow.
It's all good. I think just crack on. As a man who has bad knees too, I'm pinning all hopes on a fake one at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'd prefer not to, but hey. I think like from people that have messaged me and stuff, they're like, oh, amazing. When you do that one, you're like, you've got the bug now. Like they're like, I've seen the doc and I can tell you've got this bug that doesn't go away. And I'm like, like as nice as that is to hear, it also sucks because you know what you have to put yourself through. And I'm like, oh, damn. Yeah.
You talked about the doctor and she's talking about your knees, but also the major thing that happened in the documentary was your diagnosis as type 1 diabetic. So do you want to, how did that sort of manifest itself and like, whoa, how are you dealing with it?
Yeah, so that came pretty much out the blue. I had the symptoms and I didn't really know what it was. I thought I had a kidney infection of some sort, without going into too much detail, but I was up like 13 times a night going to the toilet, and I was like, whoa, I must be something wrong here. So I went to my friend was like, yeah, you should definitely go to a GP. And I took like a urine sample and stuff. And he called me like 2 days later and he was like, yeah, like you have diabetes. You got to go to hospital now. So I went to the hospital and my levels were crazy high. And I had like something called a DKA, which is when your blood sugar levels go whew, sky high. So I had to just pump loads of kind of liquids in me and stuff. And the nurse came in and she was like, it came in really sad and as if she, it is bad news, don't get me wrong, but as if she'd like, it is life changing. Like I don't know, you know what I mean? A really dark bit of news. Not knowing how I'd take it. And I was gutted for like the first 5 minutes or whatnot, but you know, I think weirdly, this is what makes the doc what it is. Cause you know, there's like without spoiler, putting a spoiler alert there, but kind of not doing the 55. You're like, well, what's the doc about then? We don't care about, but this kind of added in this whole new element. So for that, I was like, it gives us a reason. I think Jim, the producer, was like, oh, I secretly love this because this has made this so much better. But in terms of the run, it's like, now I have found my why. Because do you two find when people ask you, like, why do you run so much? And I think everyone listening, like, I used to struggle answering that question because without sounding like a psychopath, because I'm like, before this and during the doc, we go to like a therapist to try and find out this why. And I was like, I don't really know. Do you two know your why of why you know, lace up and go out all the time?
It's a hard question, isn't it? Yeah.
We have talked about this a couple of times just because we've been trying to work it out. I think it sort of stems back to all sorts of stuff. I was quite a fat kid, so I think that there's bits of that that play in it. Like, I think that there's a huge degree of control that comes with running. You're really just moving your body and controlling what you're doing in terms of, I guess, weight loss is probably like one great motivator for people, and it might be the thing that gets you into running initially, and then you're in, and then you just keep doing the running because you love it and you see the benefits of it. And for me, I think that's probably part of it. I think that there was a taking control of a situation which was like overweight or just general fitness, and you kind of have that vibe of like, oh, I'm actually doing the most basic of things that you probably can do to control how your body is. And that's running, I think. Do you see what I mean? Like, I think that's where that level of like control comes in. Then you're into running and you get all the benefits, all the like dopamines and all the chemical magic that goes on in the brain. Then that switches. So you're suddenly not just like doing it for an end result. You're doing it because it makes you feel good. And so I think that there's an in and then there's like a sustaining element to it. So I think, you know, it's like twofold. But anyway, that for me, that was probably where I started running for that reason. And then it's just become a whole different thing.
What about you, Rich? Did you get to a conclusion about why you think you are drawn to these sort of challenges?
Yeah, I think for running in general, it was because you pretty much, like Ben said, you're in control of your situation. I always put it down to coming from like a sporting background. You knew if you won or lost a match, like you knew that team was better than us because they won. I'm not as good as that player because he's clearly better than me, and he proved it because he beat me in a game. Whereas I think we get into careers now where someone gets a promotion over you or your friend, and you're like, she's clearly better than him. How is he, you know? So there's no like winning and losing in this business and a lot of our jobs now. So running builds up this resilience where you're just like, okay, cool, another run. And your kind of threshold for living life, I guess, is like set so much higher that you almost become like unbreakable in a sense, because you're like, who would do 10 miles in the snow? 20% of the nation. Yeah. Who would do a marathon out of the blue? 5%. Who would do Surrey to the Channel Tunnel, you know, like 1% of the nation. So like you kind of, I find you are able to go through life being able to withstand what inevitably things get thrown at you. And then with the diabetes, it just made it a whole new, that's my why now. Like, you know, the amount of parents that message with kids, they're just like, wow, like watching this is, and when you do it, my kid's going to feel like they can, you know, conquer. That's the main thing for me now, like above everything, 100%.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
We've talked before, Reese, with a few people on this, and basically, like marathon running and ultra marathon running, they're predominantly kind of white middle class pursuits, and that tends to be what you'll see in sort of mass participation events. Would you like to see more black runners taking on endurance running, recreational running, and what do you think might be some of the things that could be done to encourage that?
Wow, what a great point. I think when we was going to do the Chivia as well, I looked at all the videos and I looked at all the past winners and went on the photos. There's like no black people.
There's
no shade of color there at all. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. The irony is like the best runners in the world are black Kenyan. Do you know what I'm saying? Kenyan runners. I think what would come to my mind firstly, probably the majority of black people in inner cities. You're running in pollution. Like I don't like running around East London. If I didn't have to work in London, I'm running with car fumes. It's horrible. You're running on like streets and stuff. Like you know, whereas back in Kent, you can run in a field. You can run like there's no fields around here really, or it's so many people. I don't think running's cool for. It's not a cool sport. There's no kind of. Nothing that makes, say, me and my boys were to run, like, there's nothing cool with it. Like, so Goggins got me into it, and maybe that's because he's black. Do you know what I mean? So I think that you look at sports and you go, well, who looks like me in this sport? So therefore, golf, Tiger Woods, like, he brought black people into the game. So what can be done for it? More encouragement, I guess, more black people doing these runs, getting into it, making it more known, I guess. But it is 100% a shame. I know this group that messaged me called Black Trail Runners.
Yeah,
and I also know that there was I'm not sure if it's the same group, but I think there was a bit of backlash, which I'm aware isn't everybody at all, and I'm sure it's no one that listens to this, but I think there was some black women that did a trail run and got kind of like it was on Loose Women or something and got like some stick from we don't want to see this on TV something like that. So obviously there's still progress that still has to be made and stuff, and I think when people make them groups, black trail runners or black women running, it's like not an exclusive thing. I'm not saying we don't want white people joining this. It's like this is our safe space because there isn't a lot of us in this.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing it. It's kind of like how I talked to my friend, one of my best friends is a woman, and I'm like, oh, you going to go for a run tonight? She's like, no. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm like, why not? She's like, I don't think you understand as a woman what it's like running at night. And that kind of changed. I was like, geez, of course. I didn't even think we can, you know, we take it for granted a lot.
There's a huge sliding scale of like, white guy goes running, like right at the top. He can go in the middle of the night, doesn't matter. Black guy goes running at night. That's a different kettle of fish. Black woman goes running, or white woman, or you know, it's like there's the scale of like privilege, I guess, is probably the best word for it, which you get, which you don't hear about when it's not your lived experience. So you always have that sort of like, I go running whenever I want, and I just run around the streets around here at night if I need to, and people will be like, that's mad. Like I couldn't do that, and you're like, oh, right, I didn't even consider that like as a you know, there's this sort of, and I guess that transfers all the way through to like the start line of an ultra. Like, nah, not that's why would I do it?
And I'm just thinking now, like, imagine if you're a black woman in London in an area that's pretty messed up, like, and at the moment when you have the least amount of light, like the and no gyms are open. I see a lot of black people on treadmill in running and black women running. I've gone for a lot of run. I've lived here for about a month now, and I run over to Greenwich Park, and I've seen about three black women running, and that's a real shame. But thinking about what exactly you just said, Ben, like, well, that's completely understandable when you look, when you list all of those things. And I guess we should make more of an effort ourselves. We're the ones that can make that change. You know what I mean?
For sure. No, absolutely. That's, you know, and that's definitely something that we've tried to do. It's something we've definitely tried to do with the mag and online, and trying to add considerable representation to everything that we do, so that there's a sense of, even just a sense of belonging in the running community, that's the best place to start. And then, you know, how to get running is totally different. I just think you've got to start with that notion of, like, it's welcoming, it's for you, it's for everyone. Like, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I think the point about making running appear cool as well is, I mean, because I know you do a lot of work in football, Reece, and that is probably, that's the thing that's got the most cachet and the most cool as a sport, isn't it? It's a sport that most kids grow up wanting to be footballers or whatever. And I think actually, yeah, running could learn a lesson from football in that sense as well, trying to make the activity just seem a little bit more, younger and fresher and a little bit cooler and edgier, I think. Because I think there are elements to running that are like that, but it's just communicating that to a new audience, I think, hasn't been done, and it's a bit of a challenge as well, I think.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. Because even if you look at like a sport like basketball, for example, and you could sell, you can sell the basketball trainers as,
yeah, like, right,
Jordans to wear outside of the sport. You know, football, you can't do that. American football, you can't do that, because you can't wear football boots walking around. Yeah. You know, down the street. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's East London, mate. You'll probably find
so
someone.
So true. Okay, let's go with Gloucester. Can make a running shoe cool enough to wear for running and for outside. Yeah. So running's got a lot of advantages that you can do it at any time. You can do it on your own, in a team, night or day, sunshine, winter, any country. So there's so many kind of advantages that it has. I tell you what, though, you look at, in terms of things that are cool, sprinting has always been cool for black people,
right,
as well.
For sure,
because
right,
we have Usain Bolt,
there was like Linford Christie, wasn't there?
Oh yeah, like Linford in the 90s, like an absolute idol. Like even now, modern, like Dina Asher-Smith is just
sure,
like,
yes,
absolutely, like, inspirational, like, just, you know, the poster girl for British athletics. Mm. Like, that's and she's phenomenal. So there is definitely that sort of, like,
sprinting's cooler, isn't it? You're right. There is, and I think when kids like being the fastest in the playground, it's not about, like, no kids grow up going, oh, brilliant 1500 meter runner. You know, it's just like, who's the quickest kid over 50 meters, right?
Thanks. That's so true. Well, everyone's probably screaming at us, Mo Farah.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
I guess. He's a cool dude. Yeah, but I guess it still hasn't really crossed over as like, oh, I really want to do that.
Is there any message, Reece, that you want to get across? Maybe it's about running with diabetes, but through training for this marathon and this ultra marathon, and hopefully completing it.
Yeah, well, I think for me the biggest thing was last year when I got into it, I ran out of like I mentioned about being able to get through life and more of the mental side of it and pushing yourself and doing. But now I think I've come to a point where I can actually enjoy running, and that's been a real game changer. So I think you don't have to post your fastest time. Sorry, in my group chat, a lot of the boys will be trying to post, well, look what I did on my 5K. They're all time. All they care about is time. And I'm like, it don't really matter about time. I've learned, for me, I prefer distance, and I prefer just going out there and doing it, whether that's 1 mile, 2 mile, 5 mile. I just did this thing on Instagram like last week called Run with the Sun. So just encouraging people to run when the sunrise kind of comes up, any distance you want, just to try and enjoy it. Because I knew some people that would be their first time would go, whoa, starting my day off with that has been a game changer. Although I heard on your last episode, Jane wasn't believing about someone doing their 5K in a specific time. So don't get me wrong. I just want to stunt on a couple of people right now. My 5K record is, here we go. What is it? This was in 31st of August, 2020. 5K record, 16 minutes, 28.
Whoa.
So that's real rapid. Right there. That's
rapid, mate. That's absolutely rapid. So,
because I know they were saying about the geezer being fake, where we photoshopped his time. So I just wanted to stunt on a couple of people there. But again, it's not a bad time.
Reece, I'm telling you, that is a good 5K time, though. Fair play. That's some pace there.
I think that's because it was Jim who I sent him all my records. He went, "Do you know 5K, 16 minutes?" And I was like, "Did I? I didn't know I did." And then I checked on a thing, and it's kind of like, I managed to get like a 5 minute one on the second mile. It was like a 6 mile run. And it must have been a run maybe where I went, cool, good pace on that one, good pace. And then sprint this next mile, good pace, sprint this next. It wasn't like I'm setting out now to do a 5K and I'm running to the 5K. Or it wasn't around the track. It was an outside one, to be fair. But
mate, that's really good. That's super impressive. Yeah. Yeah. Me and Ben will be coming in a few minutes after you, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think that's real. I want to say it must be real.
It's real, man.
No, this is it. This is it. You're now falling into the trap. You're falling into the trap where everyone, your GPS is just like the thing. You get it and you can get home and you look at your time or you see something else and there's always this sort of like, oh, I did it. The only way you're ever going to know without using a watch is to go to a track and do laps of a track with a stopwatch, and then that's how you get like a time. But if you've done a GPS, like if it's when you do like races, is always your watch will never match the actual time that you get on the day, because timing mats around a race course, you're weaving, so you set out and your race time might be like 4 hours and 4.5 hours, but your watch will say 4 hours and 40 minutes because you've had it on for longer. You know, there's all these sort of bits and pieces, and you go past buildings and it interferes with the GPS. So when, especially on London Marathon route, when you get through Canary Wharf and stuff like that, all the build, like that's when your GPS can like drop out a bit and stuff, especially if you've got like 40,000 people all logged into GPS at the same time and all that sort of stuff. So
question for you two: what's that feeling like running with like a crowd? Because I've never had that.
Amazing. Oh. I would say, particularly a London Marathon. It's fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not a big marathon runner, and I've only done London once. And I just did it. I took it on. I'd had an injury and I had a place, and I did about 4 weeks of just prep before the race and just went along to just do it and have a nice time. And I did exactly that and just sort of like ran around, you know, I tried. I wasn't messing around, but, you know, I tried as much as I could. And, by mile 22 or something, the crowd was the only thing that kept me going, for sure. Like, I was just, and I saw friends along the way, had a cheeky beer.
What sort of marathon run is this, man?
I know. Well, not like a quick sip, quick little sip from a pal. It was nice, you know. When you see them and they're shouting, they've had about 5 beers, so they're well into it, and they shouted at me and like, "Wee, have a beer." And I was just like, "Yeah, sure, I'm dying anyway." Wee, and then you know you carry on, and by that point the crowd were just like, "Yeah, that was it. It's unreal." So yeah, I mean, when that all returns eventually,
yeah, exactly.
If anyone's got into running in lockdown, like the experience is so different when you can run with people, when you can race, when you can do it in front of crowds. Like it is ridiculous. Like it's a whole nother level to experience.
Reece, thanks so much for coming on the Runner's World podcast and giving up your time to talk about the ultra marathon and running with diabetes and all the rest of it. It's absolutely great to chat with you.
Oh well, thank you both for having me on. It's been a pleasure. It's been so much fun. So thank you again. I love this community. It's a real awesome new group of people that I think the good thing is everyone wants to achieve something when you're a runner, and it's just positivity. I find there's no, you know, it's just great. So thank you.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. Thanks very much to our guest, Reece Parkinson, and to you, of course, for listening.
Subscribe to Runner's World magazine today and get 3 issues for only £5. Visit hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer. The Runner's World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes and all of your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runner's World UK and click subscribe. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.